But first, in 5 weeks, Michigan's new right-to-work law takes effect. Some number of local Michigan teacher unions are working to lock in new contracts before then. It's apparently an effort to delay the impact of the controversial new law, since it will not affect contracts already in place when it kicks in on March 27th. Right to Work legally allows employees not to pay union dues. And here to explain what's going on, the Michigan Public Radio Network's Rick Pluta, who's hard at work on a story about this. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Mark.
And we've also got Guillermo Lopez, who's head of the president of the Lansing School Board, as apparently some of this activity is going on in Lansing, too. Good morning, Guillermo.
Good morning, Mark.
One thing we should start off saying is that it's not just union dues, that that we don't have closed shops per se where everyone has to join the union.
Okay.
It's just if you opt out of joining the union, you still have to pay what's called an agency fee,
right,
which is essentially a fee paid to the union for bargaining your contract, but you don't get any of the other benefits that belong to the union. Yeah.
Okay. So. Rick, we'll start with you. Is it known how many districts teachers' unions in Michigan are right now pursuing new contracts by March 27th?
No, but there's something north of 1,000 union locals, and so we can expect that a lot of them are trying to get these. They're being called different things. I've heard the term a parallel labor agreement or a parallel contract, where they just go in to the agency fee part of the deal, and requiring people to remain attached to the union in that way, and extending that out for 3, 4, 5, 6, even 10 years in some cases.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's not just schools; it's also universities. Michigan State University could be involved in that process. Lansing Community College, but it's places where these public employee unions have agreements, and they're trying to create an extension of that aspect of it that allows. That allows them to maintain that required relationship,
okay,
with the union. And of course, school districts, some are saying just no, they don't think that they can do that. I think that happened in the case of let me look at my collection materials here, but I think in Oakland County there's at least one school district that's just said no, we don't think we can. Mm-hmm. And where it is happening, school districts are negotiating concessions. If you look in the case of Lansing, there's an $11 million budget deficit here. And I think your other guest could probably answer this, that the school board would be asking for some help in that direction and maybe some others if they're going to agree to this contract extension.
But whatever, the bottom line is this, whatever's in place on March 27th effectively delays right to work for the duration of that agreement.
That a state law cannot abrogate a contract. So any contracts that are in place on March 27th, when the law takes effect, remain effective, absent some other legal maneuver that would get around that. But.
And Guillermo Lopez, why don't you jump in here? How is this all unfolding here in Lansing?
Well, our school board and the union reps have been talking about the contract, renewal, but that was even before all this came about, because the contract expires June 30th. So we had been in talks, and not in talks necessarily, but talking about it. We recently met as a board with our administration, reviewed the things we needed to have in terms of the needs of the school district, and asked our administration to go forth with negotiations and in good faith, hopefully that the result will be let's call it a win-win for both.
Well, did the passage of right to work add some urgency to this situation, though?
Well, obviously, yes, it did. On the other hand, we wanted to have our contract done prior to June 30th, regardless, because it only helps us to plan better for the school year.
How many members are there in the this is the LSEA, the Lansing Schools Education Association? How many members?
I think they have around 1,000 members.
Okay, and the current
give or take, I'm not sure.
And the current contract runs until June 30th. June 30th. Yeah.
And we should point out that it's not just, you can't just have negotiated a deal by March 27th. That means that the contract, whatever, you know, at least that part of it, needs to be negotiated. It needs to have been submitted to the membership and voted on and ratified by the members and ratified by the school board, you know, and signed and done. So it's not just a matter of agreeing on things. There's also a process that needs to take place after that.
This is also interesting, though, because I would assume teachers want the contract extended as far into the future as possible to delay the impact. But that means calculating salaries, benefits, looking at work rules, the whole thing farther into the future. Rick Plut is shaking his head no.
No, because what would happen if there's a parallel contract on that aspect of it? You could do the normal. Guillermo, I think that a contract is typically 2 years. Is that correct?
Two, three years.
So you could do a standard two-year contract, but then take that one aspect of it that deals with the agency fees and extend that out for a decade or so. I mean, at least that's the theory. And that, no doubt, if and when that happens, that will be tested in court, because there are groups already trying to line up clients to challenge these long-term agreements if they happen.
Uh-huh.
Superintendent Yvonne Kamal Kanul of Lansing told me yesterday that a longer-term contract is going to require concessions. Is that topic's got to be on the table, I assume, Guillermo?
Well, you know, we met with administration, with Superintendent Kamal Kanul, and we laid out the needs of the district. And obviously, you know, we would have to have concessions regardless, okay, because the budget just cannot, you know, afford all the things that we want to do or that we want to have. So we have to have concessions regardless.
Rick, are you
at this point in time, you know, it makes it a little more important.
Rick Pluta, are you finding that administrations are at times sympathetic to the plight of the teachers' union and are more willing to work with them, or in other cases, more resistant, or how is that playing out?
Well, like I said, some have just flat out said no to renegotiating, but there are some places where school boards or other education boards are led by people who are not fans of the right to work law, that effort, how it was done, and so they're you know going along with it, but that doesn't mean that they're not asking for things in return. And you know, I'm not just a guest here. I am also a constituent. I'm a proud Post Oak parent.
Great stuff.
But I'm wondering, are we going to, you know, maybe see if we're doing some long-term changes, you know, some really big-picture thinking, year-round classes, things like that. Are those part of the discussions?
Well, you know, we have talked about it on and off, but I think we have entered into a reconfiguration program last year, okay? So that needs to be reviewed and see where we go from the first year, see what happened, what needs to be done differently. And that is not out of the question, by the way. But we need to see where we're at this point.
Will you ask for additional school closings?
Well, it depends on our student count. Remember, we did consolidate the different groupings, like pre-K 3 and 4-6. I think those schools are pretty much on target at this point. We'll see what happens next year. I haven't heard about it in terms of needing to close a school or schools. But, you know, those are things that come as we look at our both our budget and our student count.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, school districts, if they want to ask for, you know, concessions in exchange for these really, you know, drawn-out contracts, I mean, you know, the window is, you know, roughly a month, actually a little less than that, because they have to submit the contract. So this is, if you're going to ask for big stuff, this is the moment.
Well, you know, we met and we looked at the district's needs, and for now and for the future, and we have given the administration, you know, the green light to go ahead and meet with the teachers, bargain, if you will, in good faith, but knowing that we need certain things.
Right. Continue. Continue.
No, knowing that we need certain things that we need to be comfortable with what we need, and hopefully that the teachers union would also, you know, look at that way, because we're not necessarily anti-union, but we know that our first priority is the good health of the district, and that is our goal.
Some supporters of right to work are saying that locking in contracts quickly ends up denying union members the right to opt out of what is now a perfectly legal choice. Are people talking about that, Rick Pluta?
Yeah, and that would be the I think that would be the basis of any legal challenge, which is that this is a separate agreement. It actually stretches out a lot further than the typical labor bargain between a school district and the teachers and other school employees, and you know, it would be sort of an obvious effort to get around a statute enacted by the legislature.
But those, they have to be approved by the union itself too. So if teachers are not willing to stay, you know, the same, they can vote against it.
And that's a really, actually that's a really, really great point, because yeah. You know, while the unions, primarily the Michigan Education Association and the
American Federation
of Teachers, but there are other unions that represent some school employees, that, you know, they may be willing to give up things in order to, you know, maintain the agency shop, but they can't give away so much that their members will say, I can't agree to that.
Right.
Guillermo, you've been around teachers a long time. You've been on the school board for a long time. When whatever contract that's in effect on March 27th finally expires, whether it's 2016 or 2018, right, whenever that is, even if it's years down the road, do you have any feel for how many teachers will opt out of dues paying? Do you have any feel for that?
Well, I guess if you look at how the contracts have been ratified by the teachers' union, obviously you have majority, but sometimes it's been not an overwhelming majority, but majority nevertheless. So I don't know. Given that, some teachers may opt not to do it. I really don't have a feel for that. You know, teachers go there to teach, but they do, and they, not all teachers are talking to us necessarily or conversing, but some teachers have traditionally or on and off not supported the contract.
Are you running into that, Rick? I mean, any discussion of how, years down the road, how many union members will end up opt out of doing
that? We don't know. We know what's happened in other states, and it could be a quarter to a third, which would be, you know, a huge bite out of you know, the union's finances, bargaining clout, and whatnot.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's why they're so anxious to. If this were just going to be a matter of a couple of members dropping off, we wouldn't be seeing this kind of fighting and maneuvering. Stakes are big.
Do you expect the unions to more vigorously promote the advantages of union membership in the next few years?
They have to.
Yeah.
They have to.
I would think they would. Guillermo Lopez, anything to say about that?
Well, I mean, you know, that the union certainly wants to continue with their program, and they're going to have to, again, sell the program to their membership. And all that I can say as a school board member, and I think I speak for the rest, is that we have our goal set. We have our needs identified for now and into the future. So we need the teachers to help us accomplish that for the benefit of the kids in the school district.
You know, there's an...
Continue, Rick. Quickly, though, please.
Yeah, there's another aspect of this that hasn't gotten a lot of attention. You know, we've talked about the ability to collect dues and fees, but also there is codicils in these contracts that make the teachers' union the sole bargaining agent for teachers in that district. And one of the things that this would extend is that, as opposed to a situation where you could literally have two unions, three unions, four unions in a district, all competing for membership, all competing for the right to bargain for teachers.
Well, yeah. We already have nine groups in our district, so, I mean, to have more is...
You could have more.
Guillermo Lopez is president of the Lansing School Board. Rick Pluta is a reporter for the Michigan Public Radio Network. Thank you, guys.
Good to see you here. Bye, Rick.
Bye, Guillermo.